This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. We're your hosts. My name is Marcy Davis, and my co-host is my amazing service dog, Fenway. And we're excited to be with you today to talk about our favorite subject, working dogs and working animals. And today we are welcoming Paige Mazzoni to the show. And Paige became the Chief Executive Officer of Canine Companion in 2018, where she brought more than 25 years of amazing professional experience to that incredible organization. And also, Canine Companions is celebrating their 50 years. They were established in 1975. So we've got lots to talk about with Paige. So come right back after these quick messages as we welcome Paige Mazzoni to the show.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Hello, Paige Mazzoni, and welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, we are so excited to have you and to hear all about what's up at Canine Companions and your exciting celebration. But can you start by sharing with us what led you to join Canine Companions in 2018? Because you came from the corporate world. What drew you to their mission?
I did indeed. So my history is all for-profit companies, actually heavily high-tech companies. And at a certain point in my life, I had funded my kids' college funds and was really looking to make a difference. And I grew up in this area, actually, although I had moved away for a while, but I was back in the area. And I'd always known about Canine Companions and had always really liked the quality of the organization. So I applied, and then I started interviewing. And really, I think what drew me was a combination of the mission. And to me, the mission really is that partnership and that human-canine bond power. So I love dogs. I love animals. I was actually working for a veterinary care organization, but it really was the mission of helping people using dogs and using the power of the bond and the partnership.
Yeah. Well, you found the right place for that and a place to make a difference in people's lives. That is wonderful. And wow, because coming from the for-profit world, how did your background prepare you for leading a nonprofit of this scale and impact? Because Canine Companions is so national in the United States.
Yeah, we are a big organization. We are, as you said, national. We have now 8 different locations, and we are in all kinds of different geopolitical, you know, states and communities. So it's a complicated biological supply chain is how I think of it, but with a heavy human emphasis to it and with a huge heart and a huge mission. So it's complicated, right? I think how my background helped me is I was lucky enough to have some pretty great mentors who taught me a lot about climbing the mountain, first of all, one step at a time. How do you make a strategic plan? How do you then back that into an action plan? How do you then back that into KPIs? So there were a lot of tools I brought from my former life that have helped. And my background was very varied. I went from everything from recruiting in high tech to marketing to program management to product management to strategic partnerships. I'd kind of done a lot of different things. on my way up to the executive ranks. So I think all of that helped. And then I would say, I think where my background and who I am as a person really helped me in this job and made this job feel like the fit that I had kind of been wishing for my whole career was, this job is really a combination of heart and relationships and hardcore business sense and problem solving. That mixture is very hard to find in the business world. And a lot of times in my career, I was actually criticized for being too nurturing or caring too much, and you need to be colder. And in this job, all the different parts of me kind of can come together, and it works with this organization and the amazing community of this organization.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like all of the things you were doing in your career were preparing you to come to Canine Companions, because you seem to have all the necessary skills packaged in just you, Paige. That's wonderful.
I mean, it does feel like it's finally the round peg in the round hole. I do have to give my mother credit. She taught me to write handwritten notes.
Yes. Isn't that the truth? Yes, I do that all the time. Yes, as a CEO of a nonprofit. Yes, yes. Well, I love that. And boy, are you in a warm and fuzzy place now that's all kinds of fantastic feelings and get to help and make such a difference. In fact, I have to tell you that we just had two of your incredible puppy raisers on the show recently, Jenny Exley and Margaret Jones from Denver were actually with us talking. And Jenny Exley is one of my favorite people on the planet. I met her when she was raising her second puppy. And so I've watched her. Now she's on, I think, her 19th Canine Companion puppy. Yes. And she's just phenomenal.
It's amazing.
It is. And you do have an incredible team. Well, so you mentioned you have 8 locations. Tell our listeners a little bit about your regional offices, and then also tell us about what kind of assistance dogs your organization trains and places. Give us a little bit of background about that.
Sure. So as you said, we are 50 years old this year. We were started in 1975 in Santa Rosa, California, which is in Northern California. That remains our headquarters and the head of our Northwest region. But we have divided the country into 6 regions. And they all have a campus kind of regional headquarters. So we are in Columbus, Ohio, Long Island, New York, Orlando, Florida, Dallas, Texas, Oceanside, California, and then here in Santa Rosa, California. And those are our big regional hubs, and all of the states roll up to those regions. There's training and philanthropy and marketing at all of those regions. The headquarters function for finance and people and all of that is here. And then we are starting, as we constantly seek to find ways to get more dogs to more people more quickly. We're seeking ways to do that. And one of the concepts we recently piloted is the concept of a field office. So we have a field office in Seattle, which is part of the Northwest region, but is its own existence of the mission. So there are 2 trainers, there's a canine wellness person, and then there's a marketing and philanthropy person who handle, you know, fundraising, outreach, media, and also volunteer recruitment and management to some extent. So we're super excited about that concept. We have a little fledgling start of that in Matthews, Virginia as well. So it's really a path forward. So we're very excited about our reach, and we're very excited about continuing to embed in more communities more deeply to bring the mission closer to people is really the goal.
Well, you definitely have the greatest reach, I believe, of any service dog organization in the United States. That's wonderful that you're getting those field offices. That's excellent. And I have had the pleasure of being on one of your campuses, the Long Island campus, and it was wonderful. And I love how, tell us about what happens there, how people come and that training that they go through. Can you just give us a little snapshot about that?
Sure. So the way our process works is we breed all our dogs here in Northern California, and the dogs, the breeders and the little teeny puppies are in the homes of volunteers for up to 8 weeks. Then they come in and they get all their medical clearances here at headquarters. And then those puppies go out to puppy raisers, like you just mentioned, all across, all over the United States. They're raised by these volunteer puppy raisers from 8 weeks to anywhere between 14 and 17 months old, and then they turn into these campuses. So these regional campuses have our professional trainers. They have our people who are getting the applications from people like yourself who want a service dog. They're interviewing, they're working to train the dogs and match them with people. And then our clients come to our campuses. They come for 2 weeks, they stay in our dorms, and they go through a process of getting matched with a dog, learning how to work with that dog. It comes with 40 tasks, and then they over 40, and then they can teach it more tasks as they go home and need special things. Then they go home, and then we follow up for life out of those regional centers. So a client is always tied to a region, volunteers are tied to a region. So they're kind of a hub that helps us maintain growth and maintain high touch and high quality, even though we're all over, if that makes sense.
That's incredible, Paige. Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, you've really got it all figured out. And I know that's because of your 50 years of Canine Companions has really learned how to do this well with the breeding all the way to the placement. So, well, a huge congratulations on 50 years. Tell us, what does this milestone mean to you personally and to the Canine Companions family?
You know, I think it's a really special time. It's a time of reflection and reconnection with people who have been there for us all through the years. It's been really neat. It's felt like old home weeks this whole year, and people coming back and sharing memories and sending pictures and, you know, reaching out to CEOs before me and sharing memories and interviewing them and telling stories. So there's been a really nice reunion feel to it in a way. And then I think the part for the community is feeling so great about the impact we've had and then looking forward to the impact we need to have and can have in the future. So for me, the 50th is really wonderful because it's a time for everyone who worked so hard every day to make this happen. And that's both employees and volunteers and donors to say, hey, look what we've done. Look at the impact we've already had. And then it's also a time to say, and look where we can go next. So for me personally, it's a time to celebrate the employees and celebrate the great work that has been done and honor the legacy of the organization. And then also set the course for the next 50 years and say, okay, and now here's where we're going to go, which isn't dramatically different, but is maybe focused on how do we do more? How do we get more dogs to more people? If you think about disabilities, 70 million people in the U.S. with a disability, and that's growing at double-digit percentage rates every year. How do we do more of what we do, knowing the incredible impact it has? So it's kind of a fulcrum point, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's perfect because what you just shared really gets to my next question, which is thinking back, way back to 1975, I was wondering if you could tell us about that very first service dog team that was placed by Canine Companions, or it doesn't have to be the very first, but part of the beginning, and how that legacy from that first and those first teams influences the work that you're doing today.
Absolutely. And I will talk about the first team. The first team,
good,
a woman named Carrie and her dog, Abdul. And our founder, Bonnie Bergen, had this idea of applying the concept of what a guide dog did for people with blindness to mobility disabilities. And so she was, you know, trying to get people to pay attention to her and work with her. And Carrie worked at an office where she went in to try to pitch basically the administrative heads of the office. And Carrie was the front desk. And the meeting wasn't going anywhere. And Carrie said, I'll do it with you. And so she came up with what would help her. And then it went from there. And Abdul was the first mobility service dog. Carrie went on to do amazing things. Dean Schultz, who's one of our founding people, you know, described how Carrie would drive around in her van and pop out dog and was doing all these things that nobody thought a person with a disability could do. So Carrie was innovative and brave and courageous and looked for opportunity, right? Looked for what was possible and believed in it. And I think the legacy of that is very true of our clients today. When I started here, one of the things that just really hit me was how our clients are people who see what's possible. They have roadblocks every single day and face more of them than most of us. Well, you know this, but
I'm just sitting here shaking my head.
But the attitude is all about, oh, I can do so much and I can work with this dog and do anything. And that's such a soul-filling thing to see every day.
Yeah.
And that's a huge part of our legacy. We are all about what's possible. We're all about continuing to innovate, to figure it out better and do more and serve harder and harder disabilities to serve. I'm really proud of, we are one of the organizations that still serves very low mobility clients. And that's kind of a dying art a little bit.
It is, Paige. Yes, I've seen that. Yes, it is.
And so we're hanging on to that. So I think all of that innovation and courageousness and possibility is all part of our heritage.
I love it. I love it. I call that magic, Paige. Yes, it is. It is. It is. I mean, as a person with a disability, I always tell people, for me to get out of bed is a huge risk. It is. Yeah. So once I'm out of bed, I'm like, wow, anything is possible, because yeah. But having a dog, a service dog, really makes it possible. It's somebody's got your back 24/7 that thinks you're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. When you have a disability, not many people think you're that great. So to have that beautiful, incredible canine that thinks that is pretty amazing. Yeah. Yeah. That's hard to articulate. It really is.
Well, we have so much more to talk to Paige about, but we're going to take just a quick break and hear some important messages from our sponsors. And we're going to come back and talk to Paige a lot more about the impact of service dogs and all the innovation and growth that Canine Companions is experiencing. So come right back after these quick messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. We're visiting today with the CEO of Canine Companions, Paige Mazzoni. And before the break, we were talking about the legacy of your incredible service dog, Paige. And I know you want to tell us about the different kinds of dogs and what all your dogs could do. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we serve over 65 disabilities. And so we serve mobility disabilities, which can be anything from paralysis to amputated limbs to nerve damage that makes mobility difficult, spinal injuries, brain injuries. We serve neurological disabilities. We serve autism, children with autism, and adults somewhat, if they still need a facilitator. We have dogs who are hearing, that we call them hearing dogs, and they serve people with hearing loss in a variety of ranges by alerting them to sounds. We serve veterans, both for mobility issues, but also for PTSD. And so that's an invisible disability that we serve, is, you know, people who come home from war with all the invisible injuries of war. And our dogs are trained in additional tasks to interrupt nightmares, turn on lights before someone goes in the room, create space in a crowd, have their six. There's a lot of interesting tasks they have. So we serve this incredibly wide range of disabilities, and our dogs go to children, adults, professionals in settings like courtrooms, occupational therapy, hospitals. So those are with an able-bodied handler, but serving many people with disabilities, and then the veterans. So it's a really wide range of disabilities that we serve.
That is a wide range, not only of disabilities, but of ages. Yeah, that's amazing. And you don't charge a penny for your dogs, do you?
We do not, and that is very rare. At no point do we charge. The clients are expected to feed the dogs and take care of their basic vet care. But even that, we've been raising funds to help with if there are issues. So we don't want there to be any financial barrier to people being able to have the power of a service dog and the human canine bond in their life. So we do not charge for any part of our process. And we follow up for life also at no charge.
That's fantastic, because I sometimes really feel that it's privileged people that get to have service dogs, you know, and that breaks my heart to see that, because I know with, you know, with all the different changes in the ways that people get service dogs now and fake service dogs and all those things, or getting a trainer that really doesn't know what they're doing. That's just so heartbreaking, and they charge so much money. So I'm thrilled that you've been able to keep that at no cost for your clients. That is beautiful. I want to ask you, what continues to surprise or inspire you most about these incredible human-canine partnerships between your service dogs and the people they serve?
A lot of things. Our incredible staff are always surprising me with new tasks they come up with, new things they train them to do. We have a dog right now who's paired with a child who has no use of his left hand, and the dog plays piano with him, plays the left-hand chords when he plays piano. So,
oh my gosh, I want to see that.
The things that our dogs can do continues to amaze me. I think an additional kind of across all of the placements we do with clients, one of the things that is just awe-inspiring to me is the dog continues, and you probably have experienced this, the dog continues to learn their partner and get closer and closer to them and become more and more intuitive about what that person needs. So we don't train for seizures. We don't have seizure alert dogs because it's a different kind of training. Right now, we don't do that. But our dogs learn it on their own. So we've had people who are paired with someone that may have a secondary condition that's seizures because of their physical condition. And our dogs will start alerting them that they're about to have a seizure because they get to know, they're so smart and they get to know their person so well. And they're so focused on that bond and helping their person. And that just is amazing to me that they can do that. We have one more story. We had a woman who, for whatever reason, our dogs only bark on command. And that's so that they can alert to a problem and so they're not a nuisance in public. And this woman didn't want to use the word to tell her dog to bark. I don't know if she'd had a trauma, but she didn't want to have to let someone know she was telling her dog to bark. So she was home and she had a stroke, and she had trained her dog to bark if she clucked like that with her tongue. If she couldn't move and she couldn't speak, but she could cluck. And she clucked, and the dog woke up her husband and her son, who was listening to music in their room, and did it fast enough that she nipped the stroke protocol and saved her life. And that's just incredible. Yeah. It's things like that that are amazing.
Yeah. And that's just, those are those lesser known ways that dogs support us. Yep. Yeah. That is just incredible. And yet, that's what they do every day. Yeah, that's so part of who they are, which is just the beauty of the relationship and the whole canines. Yeah, they're just incredible. Wow. Well, can you tell us how Canine Companions is innovating and expanding in recent years and what you've got on your plate and on your radar for the future? What's your vision, Paige?
So our vision is to continue to find ways to serve our clients better, first of all. So one of the things we've invented in the last couple of years is a product and process called Canine Alert. It's patented, and it's for our veterans with PTSD. So they wear a heart monitor, and the dog has a collar with a device on it that buzzes or vibrates, not buzz, like no sound, vibrates.
Mm-hmm.
So if... And it's customizable to the veteran. So if they're having a nightmare, or if they're in public and they're starting to get anxious, the heart rate will be set to a normal range. And if it goes out of that range, the collar will buzz and the dog is trained to interrupt what's going on. So one of the reasons this is amazing is our clients with PTSD who had nightmares, our dogs are all trained in nightmare interruption, but our dogs are also sound sleepers. So sometimes the nightwear would be pretty far along before the dog woke up. So this wakes them up sooner to interrupt the nightmare before it's a full-blown nightmare. So it's exciting. That's one example of innovation. We think that that will be able to be extrapolated to other kinds of disabilities. Autism, you can see clear application there. So we're excited about that. That's one category, is continuing to train and do new tasks during the pandemic. Instead of having our dogs shake hands because of touching, they wave.
Wow.
There's all kinds of new tasks. And then I would say the other category is, how do we make the engine better, right? How do we do more? So field offices are an innovation, but we're looking at all kinds of new things. How do we serve our puppy raisers better in the field? Are there new kinds of roles we can create? How do we move dogs better? We're working with private pilots to move dogs across the country because after the pandemic, commercial flying has become so difficult. All kinds of things to just keep pushing on every part of the program and the mission and the processes to say, how do we do this better? How do we remove blockages? How do we get to more people faster?
Mm-hmm. You are always, Canine Companions is always on the forefront. And it sounds like you are more than ever. And I love how you've built all these strong relationships with volunteers, with puppy raisers, with veterans, with healthcare providers, with pilots, all the things, even correctional facilities. So tell us a little bit about what role those partnerships play in your success.
I mean, they're everything. We have 320 employees and over 4,200 volunteers. So we don't happen without volunteers.
Yeah.
They do everything. I mean, they spread the word about us. They help us raise money, which we raise every penny we spend pretty much every year. So they really give these dogs the right start. They socialize them and make sure that they're out there in the world hearing sounds and being on different surfaces and going to concerts and doing all kinds of things that will make them foolproof service dogs. It will make them not easily distracted and able to just focus on their person. And I think it sounds really corny, but I think a huge part of these partnerships, and I'll get to more of the corporate partnerships in a minute because they're super important too. Part of what they do is just help build our community. You know, our volunteers during the pandemic called me and would say, what do you need? What can we do? And, you know, one of the problems we had was we had people come for hearing dog training and they were lip readers and we hadn't thought about it. And they couldn't read lips because people weren't wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
We had puppy raisers. I called them the Merry Mask Makers. They just whipped out. They created a pattern for a mask with clear stuff in it. And this was before they were all over. This is like the initial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's hundreds of these masks to every campus. They just whipped them out and got them to us.
Got it done. Yeah.
And that's what our volunteers do. And then our corporate partnerships, our pilot partnerships, are people who are in a position and corporations that are in a position to really do transformational financial support of us or in kind. So, you know, Yukonuba, Mars, VCA, that whole corporate group, they help us with the cost of dog food. They help us with the cost of care for our dogs throughout the country. They spread the word about us. They bring other partners to us. We have partnerships like Baylor Scott & White in Texas, who built us a campus and maintained the campus for us. So we have really transformational partnerships. And then our pilot partnership organization is just a bunch of individual people with private planes and huge hearts who fly these dogs at no cost to us. And it's amazing. It's lovely.
It is lovely. I mean, that is the impact that you are seeing on so many different levels, and just that anybody can make a difference. I know sometimes people think they have to be at that corporate level or have their own plane, but I think of Jenny Exley that takes her little puppies to work with her every day at Craig Hospital and the impact she's having. Yeah, the ripple effect is just, it's phenomenal.
Our volunteers are army of heart, right? Like they are out there every day explaining what we do and telling people about us. And they're also, they are this force of goodness about disability. They are out there not making disability something that people shy away from or consider pathetic and sad. They're about like, no, look at this amazing world we're part of and look at these amazing things our clients do. I mean, there's people in, look at what you're doing, right? We have people in every business and every walk of life.
And having fun.
Doing amazing things, you know. They are the voice of that as well, which I really like to give recognition to because it's this goodness, as you said, it's a ripple of goodness and understanding and kindness in the world, which we need.
Yes, we do. Can never have enough of that.
Nope.
Well, I know we don't have much time left, but I do want to ask you before you have to go, what advice would you give, Paige, to someone considering applying for a service dog or becoming a puppy raiser?
Oh, do it.
Yesterday. Yes.
I think be aware that it's a journey with requirements, right? It's a journey, a lot of steps, and can look, sometimes the rules can look off-putting, but on the other side of getting through the process, which is probably the most arduous part of it, to get into it and to learn it and to become part of it, is this incredible community and family and this realization of what the bond of a dog being with you and you really investing in that dog, it's just life-changing. It's different than just a pet. It's a dog that is meant to do something and to work and to change lives. And they change the lives of every single person they touch along the way. You know, our incarcerated people say this the best. They raise our puppies in prison and they say, it's the first time I felt unconditional love. It's the first time I feel I can give back for what I did. And that same kind of metamorphosis happens for everybody in our community on some level. So it's, I can't really oversell it. It's just that becoming part of this mission is life-changing.
It is. I just get goosebumps just thinking about everything you're saying, Paige. And it's, I couldn't agree with you more. It is life-changing and it is a huge community that becomes your family, just gets extended so much when you encounter these dogs and all the people that have touched them that make them the incredible canines that they are. Well, finally, I want to ask you, how can our listeners support your mission or get involved with Canine Companions? How can they do that, Paige?
They can go to our website at canine.org and every possibility is there. Volunteer, donate, sponsor a puppy, learn more about us, get involved with events. It's all there. Apply for a dog.
Fantastic. Well, we will make sure that we share that. And Paige, I could talk to you all day. I just want to thank you so much for being with us and for sharing the incredible work Canine Companion does for people with disabilities and puppy raisers and all the volunteers that touch these trainers, that touch these dogs. And huge congratulations on your 50th anniversary. And thank you for your leadership, Paige, for in the not only at Canine Companions, but in the service dog industry. Because as I said, you have always led the way, Canine Companions has, and we thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor to be on the show. Thank you for everything you're doing to put out all kinds of good information about animals and dogs. So
thank you. Well, you got to come back and tell us more because I can't wait to hear about that device that you shared for veterans. And I just can only imagine what you guys are cultivating and creating. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And you have an amazing day.
Thank you. And thank you, our listeners, for you being with us. We're so glad you could join us. And you know that we love hearing from you. So please keep those emails coming. You can send me any questions, comments, or ideas for a future show just by emailing me and Fenway at Marcy, M-A-R-C-I-E, at PetLifeRadio.com. Hey, everybody, I also want to share some exciting news. I've been working on a brand new children's book called Humphrey, the Hopeful Helper. It's a heartwarming story of a little yellow lab puppy with big paws and an even bigger dream to become a service dog. And this beautifully illustrated book is coming soon, and I can't wait to share Humphrey's adventures with you and your family. So be sure to join our mailing list at workinglikedogs.com so you'll be the first to know when Humphrey the Hopeful Helper is released.
I promise you don't want to miss this one. Thanks so much for being with us, and we can't wait to be with you again. Take good care.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.